If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
I want to see a national red flag law and legislation to incentivize states to enact their own red flag laws. Today, I asked the Justice Department to publish a model red flag legislation so states can start crafting their own laws right now.
Oh, for the love. There's not enough alcohol on this planet right now to deal with this man. I'm sorry. I mean, also, like, just energy. Welcome to the show. That was the president. I'm Dana Loesch. It's Friday. For the love, we made it. Oh, my gosh, we made it. We almost got through this week without seeing another Hunter Biden underwear shot.
Almost.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost.
Why does fate hate us? Why? We made it through. And I'm going to give you all the latest. And, of course, subscribe to the newsletter. Yes, I'm talking about guns right now because 2 things. I'm actually, I would say, an expert, I guess, because I am a walking encyclopedia. But secondly, because it's literally one of the top stories right now. So that's why we're talking about it. Someone asked me, they're like, well, all you do is talk about guns. I'm like, you've never listened to the show then. Go back to the hole that you crawled out from. I will be totally ignorant. Don't expect me to be courteous when someone's discourteous, especially on a Friday when I'm done dealing with these. This is my mood. So you know how your mom was? Like when you were just on her last nerve? And the only thing between you and pretty much getting beaten into a hole in the ground is that silent prayer that your mother was just barely breathing through clenched teeth. That's the mood. Does that perfectly? I think so. It's like 0.5 seconds before the shoe comes off, right? That's where I am. So we made it through. We can be like that together. That's a fun mood to be like and together, by the way. So we can be like, we can be all like that together. No, but someone did. They said, well, why are you talking about? Well, because it's the top story right now. And I just happen to know more than you. So that was one of the president, one of the presidents. Well, it's the Biden-Harris administration. I mean, you know, I was reliably informed that it's the Harris administration. So I guess we should go with that. But a number of things that I wrote a couple of pieces, actually. I wrote a big piece yesterday that went down all of the orders, everything that, you know, all the gun control stuff, everything that he's wanting to push forward, even the stuff that, and I have some stuff coming that's not even necessarily in his executive orders this time around. But I gotta talk about this because he was the red flag thing, and we really got into it yesterday. But I was listening actually just a little bit ago before coming into the studio. Some dude, I don't know who this dude was. He was some dude on Fox. Some rando Democrat. I don't know. He knew Jack Diddley redacted about firearm law. And I'm listening to this guy. He was so dumb. I paused what I was doing. I did a half, like, sidebar. I did like a lame workout this morning. I worked out. I was supposed to do upper body and I did it for like 5 seconds. I'm not even going to lie because I had a very long day yesterday and it's already been a very long, well, it's afternoon now. It feels like it should be evening. And I actually paused what I was doing and I stopped and looked at this dude. There are these people in punditry that are so excited to accept an invitation to go on TV. They don't care if they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't care. Whereas you and I have self-awareness. These people don't. So he's sitting there on camera And he was asked about the whole ghost gun thing. We talked about that yesterday. He was asked about the whole ghost gun thing and, well, you know, what is that? This is what the president talked about, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, yeah, you know, I mean, we can't have these undetectable guns and, you know, these people, because this is what people like him think. He actually said, you know, these people that make these guns from kits and then they go out and sell them, they're called FFLs that are licensed. And there's zero data to support that it's, I mean, zero. I will literally physically fight you and everybody I invite you to put money on me because you'll get rich. It's licensed and there's the data literally does not support in every study of thousands of felons that has ever been done. Not a single one of them, including Barack Obama's own DOJ, which did one. Not a single study shows that this is how people get their firearms. Yeah, you know, because your local gangbanger has a super nice drill press and all kinds of expensive equipment in his house, right? If you believe that, I have so many things to sell you. So this guy's like, yeah, these kids, they get together and they make these guns. And they go out and sell them and you can't even detect them. We should make that illegal. What? You mean like the Undetectable Firearms Act of 1988, you ever-loving moron, that? Because that's a thing. Did you guys know that? I mean, I just assume that this guy knew this because, I mean, he's talking about it. And, well, maybe he doesn't. Now, that's an actual thing. It's the Undetectable Firearms Act of 1988. All the stuff that he's talking about is literally already codified. It's statute, it's law. And it even says that you can't have anything you have to have something detectable in your firearm, like 3.7 ounces of steel. I'm not going to get into the weeds with it, but I just want you to be aware of it. So all these people who are like ghost guns, I mean, literally it's like the ghost gun law. And these folks are like, well, in 1988, they didn't know about the 3D printing. Oh, you're right, because in 1988, we had no electricity, and we did not have no computering, and we didn't have none of that stuff. That's the same dippy argument that they were using back for the founders. That, oh, well, they were from the days of yore. They certainly couldn't have technological progression or things like rifling or even fully automatic firearms, which they did. Good heavens. So the next time someone sits here and tells you about ghost guns, woo, but the ghost gun, though, Undetectable Firearms Act, it literally makes that entire argument moot. It is literally, using it correctly, AOC, already a law. Where the hell do these people come from? Hey, would you like to come on television and talk about something you don't know anything about? That sounds great. It's my favorite thing to do. Jiminy. 1988, hell, I was still in grade school when this damn thing passed. That's how long it's been law. Jiminy Christmas. I mean, there was a tweet from Twitter Safety or something yesterday, and they said, we're going to start fact-checking things about coronavirus, but heaven forbid they do it about firearm law. Like, heaven forbid they actually do anything, like, if they wanted to be useful, heaven forbid they do anything like that about firearm law, where you have a bunch of morons that sit here and all bark at each other, and they have no idea what they're barking about, and they want to influence policy that affects your rights in life. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And the craziest thing to me is that we have, which is going to get into one of the other things, because, you know, I'm obsessed now with watching China. And every time their China bots go at me, my goal this year is to get banned in China. I want to be banned. I want it to be on official letterhead. Ban me, you commie bastards. Ban me. I want to be banned. Like, I want that to be, that's going to, you know, and then when I'm an old lady and I'm like 1,000 years old or however old, I don't know, who knows what's going to happen. Maybe we'll all die tomorrow. That'll be my epitaph. And the announcement. Banned in China. And we'll probably rename the show that. I don't know. I'm just saying. So, Blake, help me out here. Help me help you, commies. I'm actually not helping you, but just do it for me anyway. So, while all of this is happening, you got this slap fight going on in the South China Sea. This is why you need to be concerned about it. I don't think that China does not have combat prowess. They have a lot of people, and they're able, because they're a communist country, to suck up all the resources and fabricate what they want. But what they have in terms of physical resources, they lack in actual experience in combat prowess. And I have been keeping this in mind while watching some of this stuff. Like, for instance, this took place yesterday, because China is growing increasingly more antagonistic towards Taiwan. They think that Taiwan, because when the commies ran the government out of China and they went down to Taiwan, which adopted the old flag, and the commies raised their flag, they still are not letting these people go. So they really, I mean, ultimately the goal is to make Taiwan part of China. Taiwan wants nothing to do with that, because why? China is, say it with me, or maybe don't, because you're in the workplace. You know. There you go. Yeah, if you're in the workplace, you can just mouth it. And if children are watching you, you can just think it. It's okay. So the destroyer USS John S. McCain, the transit, the journey of this guided missile destroyer went through the Taiwan Strait Wednesday of this week. And the Chinese military, because they're all busybodies, I mean, communists, I mean, really, the busybodies of society are the commies of society. Just know this. So one of their communist colonels, some guy, bootlicker commie, he's the spokesman for the China People's Liberation Army Eastern Theater Command. Sidebar: the longer the name, the bigger the douche. And he said that this sends an erroneous signal to forces. It's almost like you guys are supporting Taiwan's independence from China. Wow, great job. You guys are so insightful over there in commie land. Very insightful. And he said, as though we're supposed to care, that China is firmly opposed to it. The People's Liberation Army remains on high alert, PLA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I think it was, what, since 49, they've been pretty much internationally recognized as being independent. China doesn't, though, because they have commie glasses. And commie glasses, it's like, you know, it's Veruca Salt vision. Everything is theirs. That's theirs. They're kind of like those seagulls in Finding Nemo. Mine? Mine? Everything is theirs. Everywhere a commie looks, he thinks it's his. I'm just going to use all the memes today. He's like Lion King, which I hated. I did hate that movie. I hated it to death. When Simba is listening to his dad, the guy, James Earl Jones, I don't remember the guy's name, the lion's name. It's the only important thing to remember is it's James Earl Jones. And he's like, everything the light touches is your kingdom. That's what communists think. Except even the stuff it doesn't touch, they think it's theirs too. So all of this, it's, I mean, obviously, I think that there's, you know, the United States recognizes Taiwan as being independent. The reason why you need to be concerned is because if you don't modify your habits now to stop the purchase of cheap communist China produced crap, they're going to do it for you, because there's going to be a big old brawl that's going to erupt over Taiwan. And the current administration and their incompetency is not helping slow down this, what is not yet an inevitability, but as long as Joe Biden and this kind of policy is in office, it sure as hell will be. We'll keep an eye on that. We've got a lot of other stuff to get into, folks. It's Friday, and we just got a lot, so we'll get into all of that. It's Friday. We're going to make it through together, and we're going to make some fun of some people, because really, that's all really Fridays are for. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So last night they said DMX had passed away, but he hadn't passed away. But I think he's passed away now. So everybody, it's being confirmed by media entities now. He had been in the hospital. He suffered a heart attack, and he was in grave condition. His family came in. But apparently, XXL is one of the entities that is announcing that DMX passed away. He was 50 years old. Why does it seem... He didn't seem like he was 50 years old. Jiminy. So DMX passes away. I actually care, so thank you very much. I hear you all out there. I care. You're welcome. Because it happens in threes, and this is the rule of my grandmother, Boots Skaggs. It's the rule of my grandmother, Granny Boots, and they called her Boots because she was a blank kicker. That's not an exaggeration. They really did. So there's two. Who will be the third? Because it has to happen in threes. I don't make the rules. Who is it? The Prince Philip, the husband of the Queen, passes away. He's 99 years old, so, I mean, you know, it's not like it was totally shocking. But he had a very funny, very non-PC sense of humor, and so he's passed away. So I think she goes into her 8 days of mourning and all of that now. So, I don't know, like I said, it always happens in threes. It's Granny Boots' rule. Elon Musk is going to kill us all. I'm saying that kind of jokingly, and then part of me wants to eat one of them. Yeah, he thinks that you could do a real-life Jurassic Park. He actually wants to make something like this happen. In fact, one of the co-founders of Neuralink, which was co-founded with Elon Musk, they said they had the technological ability to build a real-life version of Jurassic Park. Don't know that... Yeah, should we, though? And if we do, do we also get to eat some? Just curious. I would totally eat like a Velociraptor burger. Ain't gonna lie. Stick with us.
Why do the Democrats want open borders even though it damages national security and the people who are crossing the southern border are brutalized by the drug cartels? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest edition of The Sarah Carter Show, we discuss this and how Dr. Fauci continues to move the COVID goalposts with North Carolina Congressman and Dr. Greg Murphy. Will also highlight the huge threat to your personal liberty through vaccine passports and how our children are now in the COVID police crosshairs. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Again and again to talk about how we do this in a way that involves everyone in our country, all across our country. We hope to do this in the most bipartisan way possible. Infrastructure has not been a partisan issue in the past. We hope that it would not be now.
So that's Nancy Pelosi discussing the infrastructure, because really the only thing that's standing in the way of Democrats' infrastructure is Democrats. And I'm okay with this. And it's Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, because they're right. You should be concerned about some of the stuff in this. Actually, a lot of it, because just a tiny, weensy little percentage actually goes towards the racist roads and bridges that Secretary Pete Buttigieg was talking about. So very good heavens. Big deal. So again, welcome back. DanaLash.com. And I think something's going to pass at some point, but I do think that they're not going to be able, they won't be able to get Sinema or Manchin to budge, because those two get more popular with the base the more resolute they stand, honestly, especially Manchin. I mean, his base, he comes from a red state that went for Trump by double digits, and yet he was able to navigate all of that and stay in office. He knows how to play this game. Come on. He knows how to play it. And so I'm really interested in this fight. And at least someone in that party is looking out for the taxpayer. At least somebody is. Goodness. Now, this just is in about an hour ago. The president is going to sign an executive order creating the Presidential Commission on the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, this is interesting for a number of reasons. It says the president today will issue an EO forming the Presidential Commission on the Supreme Court, comprised of a bipartisan group of experts on the court and the court reform debate, a.k.a. packing. In addition to legal and other scholars, the commissioners include former federal judges and practitioners who have appeared before the court, blah, 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 blah. They said that their principal purpose is to analyze the arguments in the debate for and against reform of the Supreme Court. And by reform, I mean Democrats choosing to tack on a bunch of judges that Biden can appoint, including the appraisal of the merits and legality of it. They're going to look at the court's role in the constitutional system, the length of service and turnover of justices on the court, the membership and the size of the court, and the court's case selection rules and practices. So this is very interesting. Very interesting indeed. You know, you have President McUnity here, who is very, I mean, that's like some serious President McUnity stuff. This is all about court packing. It is all about court packing. That's what this is. He knew he was going to do it. Even though he said he wasn't going to do it, you know they were going to do it. He's out there, well, I'll be unifying, but not really. That is, but that's very, it's concerning, though. And that's how he's, because there are a bunch of people in the Democrat base that want these super far left judges. And so they're going, I think there's a couple of ways to look at this. You could look at it if you wanted to be optimistic, and I'm a cynic. If you wanted to be optimistic, you could look at this and say, this is just a flex. This is just him doing this and the administration doing this to shut these people up. And they'll drag out this commission for a couple of years and then they won't actually change anything. Possibly. Coming up, we're going to talk about how Democrats are already trying to position themselves for 2022. And I think that this could play into it. But can we talk about racist fonts for a moment? Yeah. Racist fonts. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but apparently it's a thing. I didn't even know. CNN is upset over racist fonts that communicate Asian-ness. And they're offended by takeout packaging. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so there was a report actually. I know everyone's like, what? There was a report that was looking at this, and it's the headline over at CNN is called Karate Wonton Chow Fun, the End of Chop Suey Fonts. You know, like if you like the font that looks, you know, I don't know, I guess you could say somewhat Asian on the side of like certain takeout boxes, like thank you, come again, things like that. I've seen it all the time. And there's a huge, giant piece about this. I'm not even kidding you. That's over at CNN. They spent a lot of time trying to, oh, wow. And they go back, they even go back and they try to say that it came from anti-Japanese propaganda that was circulating during World War II. For the love. So, and it's all in a bunch of restaurants that are run, I just should feel like I should say, by Asian people that are running them. So they go, this is how they started. Here's the thought experiment. Close your eyes. And imagine the font you'd use to depict the word Chinese.
Helvetica?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go. They continue. There's a good chance you pictured letters made from swingy wedge-shaped strokes that you've seen on restaurant signs, menus, takeaway boxes, kung fu movie posters. These chop suey fonts have been a typographical shortcut for Asianness for decades. They actually go, I mean, they went back. This is the biggest stretch I've ever seen, ever. And I just can't believe this. This is probably what, at least a, oh my gosh, it's probably about a 5,000 word piece, or three, maybe about almost a 4,000 word piece. Yeah. not including all the captions. So they say that it is, hey, I got to scroll up, hold up. It's the longest damn story ever. They go, racist undertones. This is the whole subsection. For an older generation of Asian Americans, spotting the faux brushstroke lettering can trigger past trauma. So wait a minute. I have a question. If it is racist for this font to exist, I'm fascinated that there's an entire article about racism against Asians. Democrats are very much trying to rewrite history on this so they can BLM Asian Americans. Nothing's going to be said about the Democrat Party putting people in camps, like literally here in the United States. Japanese internment camps. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's going to be said because I would think that that's. Yeah. And they're still putting people in camps as evidenced at the border. I'm just saying. You know, I know I can work that street too. So they're asking whether this font can be racist. I don't. There's this meme where it's a guy that's supposed to be Jesus and he's on the phone and he says, start the rapture. I feel like that's where we are right now. Do you think this font is, do you think the fonts are racist?
No, actually, if I'm, for example, if I'm driving by and I want some, say, Chinese rice, and I can differentiate between the Mexican place with rice and the Chinese place with rice just by seeing the sign, I appreciate that.
When did identifying, because a lot of these restaurants, and they keep going over and over again to restaurants and restaurant menus, they're literally Asian owned. I'm sorry, but I don't know any white people named Kathy that own any Japanese restaurants.
Right, and they say even in the story that this font has been around since like the late 1800s. So are we just now trying to categorize this as racist?
Like, yes.
That's sus.
Yes.
Totally sus.
Oh, man. Yeah, and that was only 80 years ago. You're right, Kane. So there are people who are alive that are very well aware of all of that than right. The camps. And they haven't gone after what they say are Arabic types or things like this. And they do, I will say at least, that they do talk to I can't believe they have these people, like a typographical designer. And it says, well, we want to celebrate languages and those cultures in our English representation. Okay, and? How is that racist? What in the hell? Do people not know what words mean? Is it denigrating the race? Is it, and it's not a race actually. Is it denigrating an ethnicity? Is it denigrating people? Is it denigrating a culture? Or is it just literally words that are saying, hi, come eat at our establishment? I don't know. Trees are racist now. So what do we know?
If you read that super lengthy article, it did mention some Lululemon t-shirt that was, you know, apparently being sold that they're trying to categorize as a racist t-shirt. But other than that, in the story, there's literally nothing in here that indicates that it wasn't Asian Americans using this font.
This is racist, but actually discriminating against Asian Americans in universities isn't. Oof. I mean, I just want to make sure I know where the boundaries are.
That's a good point.
Okay. And putting Asian Americans in camps, Democrats, you know, FDR, that's okay. But this font. Oh, my gosh. You know what font really bothers me more than anything? And this may be kind of predictable, but it's Comic Sans. I hate Comic Sans. Yeah. If I see anybody, if I meet someone and I see that they use Comic Sans, I don't want to know them.
So you don't think you can write anything serious in that font?
No, I think that font is that out of that font should be bombed. We should put all of it everywhere in the world on.
Why are you racist against comedy?
No, it's the worst font ever. It's the worst, most ridiculous. It's so bad. It's awful. Horrible font. I would rather be more offended by that than this. It's just ridiculous. Everybody's offended by everything. We're going to talk about snacks coming up. I really don't want to miss the snack portion. I missed the snack headline yesterday, and I am obsessed with this story. So we're going to totally make some some fun of this, so you don't want to miss a single bit of it. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and her freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Vice President Harris has been put in charge of addressing the root causes of the border crisis. Last Tuesday, she spoke with Guatemala's president, but she hasn't visited the border or Central America or spoken to leaders of El Salvador or Honduras. She was traveling this week, took time to visit a bakery in Chicago. I'm wondering, is she still working on this? And can you address the perception that she's kind of quietly backing off while Secretary Mayorkas is pursuing some Trump-era policies, such as potentially building new border barriers and potentially prosecuting people who illegally cross multiple times?
There's a whole lot packed in there. So let me just see what I can do here. First, I would say, the vice president was visiting Chicago actually to talk about COVID and the importance of communities getting the vaccine when it's available and accessible to them. And so while she was there, like many Americans, she got a snack.
Because they don't have any snacks by the border. There's no snacks anywhere south of Oklahoma. You can't find snacks. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Oh my gosh. That's the lamest thing ever. She's allowed to get a snack. Yeah, no one gives a rat's ass about her getting a snack. No one cares. What about going? I mean, you just pick up a snack, go to the border. You know what? Do what the rest of us do. Peck you some jerky. Get you some jerky. Get you a protein bar and you head on down to the border. Not hard. There's your snack. Good night.
I mean, is it not clear how the media treats Democrats compared to
Republicans?
Can
you imagine?
Good God.
If Mike Pence was like, well, I had to go get a snack.
Right.
Can't go to the border. I had to get a snack.
It'd be 3 days of the media saying they prioritize like their snacks over.
That's like a toddler excuse.
Unreal.
That's like a toddler excuse. How many times did you have, Kane, you know you had to do this. Like, oh, I don't know. I got to get my kid a snack.
Right.
Like when they're hungry, you got to feed them now.
Right. Sometimes you even prepare them ahead of time in the fridge so that when the occasion arises, you're ready for it.
They'll chew your face off like like gremlins.
Or worse.
She got a snack. I think she's allowed to do that. Yeah, well, she can't get a snack and go to the border. Like, I really like why. This line. So while she was there like many Americans, she got a snack. That's... No, she's been I guess like the furthest south that she's been is Oakland. Right? Yeah. Further south that she's been is Oakland. Closest she's got to the border. She's been too busy complaining about not living in the vice president's mansion. But she wanted to go to the bakery. She wanted to get what they gave her, cupcakes. They gave her some cake. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure there's bakeries down there in ye old RGV down there by the border. I know for a fact that they have snacks by the border because I have for a fact taken snacks to the border. Hello, beef jerky. While I was sitting on there looking at what I was told by Border Patrol was cartels across the Rio, I was gnawing on some beef jerky. I swear to you, hands to sky. You always have your emergency jerky. Everyone else does this too, right? Do you have your emergency jerky stash?
Oh yeah, actually do. And almonds and stuff like this type of stuff here.
Yeah, but I mean like I keep it in smaller. I when I travel, I pack them in smaller bags so I can ration them out, so I don't have to carry one big giant bag and contaminate the entire bag if anything happens because I'm crazy.
I'm not that crazy, but yeah, I definitely take packs.
It's your emergency jerky stash. I don't know if I can trust people that don't have an emergency jerky stash. I don't even leave my house without emergency jerky. And water. I get nervous. I'm like, what happens if like Armageddon happens right now? I'm at Kroger and I can't, and the Kroger like melts or something. I'm stuck in the parking lot. It's going to take me forever to get back home. But at least I have sustenance. She needs to do what we all do and just take you some emergency jerky. No, she can't go down there. Meanwhile, you get that video of that little boy who is just wandering around in the desert. I can't even, I'll spend the rest of the show raging about that. Oh my gosh I just wanted to scream at whoever dropped him off and just that poor little kid. We have a lot more on the way, folks. We've talked about racist fonts so far, we've talked about snacks, and we're gonna get into some other stuff coming down as well. I gotta tell you, we gotta have a bigger conversation about this incoming ATF director nominee. This guy is crazy. We'll explain. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
This week, we've also been showing you the roots of the border crisis, why people make the dangerous journey to the U.S. in the first place. Manuel Bajorquez reports from Guatemala on how climate change is forcing many into a difficult choice.
Wait, what?
Climate change.
Climate change. That is CBS. CBS. Yes. Yes. Communist Broadcasting Service, CBS. Oh, we're going to make a lot of fun on them right now. Hi, I'm Dana Lash. Welcome to the second hour of my program. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse. All good things. All good things. And thank you for the person who said I'm having a good hair day. I appreciate you. Yay. So speaking of CBS, and we've been getting through into all kinds of stuff, and coming up, we're going to speak with this hour, my friend, I haven't talked to him in quite a while, J. Christian Adams, about the voting stuff. So this is something that actually Rachel informed me of. Very interesting. It could be an algorithm, and I'm including that in there. Although, let's be real. Like, I really don't think it is. But it seems that CBS had flagged. It seems like they flagged my YouTube video of the radio simulcast wherein we were discussing the insane story, the insane smear that CBS did on Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. So they were trying to demonetize me and trying to get YouTube to take down the video where I was going after their irresponsible smear and citing as fair use, because it's a story, 60 minutes, their ridiculous, irresponsible piece. Oh yeah, we got the receipts. So, I mean, it could be an algorithm, just like Hunter Biden could have lost his laptop. I mean, it could have been accidental, just like, you know, it could have been, as Hunter Biden said, Russian misinformation. But come on. Do we really believe that it was? Insane. It may have been an algorithm. I mean, I'm just... But yeah, they flagged the YouTube video of my radio simulcast where I was talking about their irresponsible smear. And it's news. It's fair use. It is. It's absolutely fair use. But I do... I don't know. I don't believe that it's an algorithm because Dems de rules. And also because these people are rat bastards. I said it. Get mad again. Please. This is the kind of stuff that... This is the kind of stuff that I think that they do. And they think that you're not going to fight back because, you know, they're CBS. Well, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I really do think that they kept doubling down and tripling down on this insane story where they even made Florida Democrats upset with him. The irresponsibility of claiming that he was engaged in some kind of pay-for-play scheme when it wasn't that at all. In fact, it was Democrats that had suggested that he work with Publix. That's what the story was all about. But that is... For them to try that and for them to claim, try to say it was a copyright violation, you created a news story that was insanely irresponsible and you were criticized for it. This is the media trying to interfere and keep people from holding them accountable. That's what it is. They want to shut you down because that's what really evened the playing field. It was the internet, it was social media that really leveled the playing field between these big gatekeepers of information and American citizenry. And were it not for that ability, and I do believe that American citizens got a head start on it, media in their effort to catch up, now they have to lean on these social media companies and they have to try to abuse copyright law. It's not a copyright infringement to point out that your reporting was irresponsible and factually baseless. That's called a critique. Play stupid games. You will win stupid prizes. But that's their attempt to shut you down and prevent you from in any way holding the press accountable. And this is after YouTube pulled down a video of DeSantis and actual other scientists saying that kids don't need to wear masks. YouTube pulled that down. They pulled down a video. This is New York Post. It was not just DeSantis, but it was literally a handful of doctors and scientists. And they were all discussing coronavirus. And I guarantee you that these medical professionals and experts that they had talking with Governor DeSantis about this no more than it's taking everything I have to not say something that would FCC would freak out about. They probably know more than the cross-eyed button pusher at YouTube who is just like, guess I'm going to delete this for them. It was posted by the American Institute for Economic Research, and it was a roundtable discussion on the state of the pandemic and the appropriate policy responses. And so they were talking about high-risk people, you know, this is what you should stay home if it's, you know, blah, 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 talking about kids and babies wearing masks. And the scientists were talking about CDC recommendations for kids under two and the physical maturity of people that, you know, if they contract it, the receptors in the respiratory system, et cetera, et cetera. And he had said that kids under five don't really need to wear them because there's not a lot of scientific evidence or research that points to them. In fact, and that's the CDC's position really too, to them actually being carriers. And it was for that they had that video pulled.
It's not about science.
Yeah, it's not about science. It's about control. It is about control. That's exactly what it's about. But yeah, I don't believe that it was an algorithm. That's me. I personally think that they want to shut down any and all discussion of their backfired smear job. That's this is all because we all leveled the playing field with social media, and they realize this. So now, because they can't, I mean, how are they going to defend themselves? They're caught red-handed. They just got to shut you down. It's fascism. Absolutely. Corporate fascism when they participate in it. See, this is when this is what really bugs me about the right. How many stupid think tanks do we have? If I see another stupid conservative think tank, we need another conservative think tank. Like we need another hole in our backsides. That's not what I wanted to say, but you know. I'm so tired of it. People, the conservative think tank, here's another conservative organization that's going to do the same thing as this conservative organization. And then they get, I also believe in giving people their due when they're doing their work. It is biblical. If you want to like get into it, Paul wrote about it, by the way. It was like, you know, while it is my right, I could go out and make money from this, but you know, I'm not because you're taking care of me. So let's keep it in check. But I think that the priorities of this are wrong. We don't need another stupid think tank. We don't need another dumb group. We don't need any of this garbage. What we need are people to fund tech. Conservative-leaning tech startups. Or just independent or libertarian-leaning tech startups. People who aren't fascists. We don't need anybody writing a check to another, here's some, you know, bunk whatever group, blah, blah, blah. Free America something. I mean, I'm so tired of it. So tired of it. I got a solicitation from one of these groups and I wrote a message on it in giant red Sharpie and used their envelope to send it back. Like, we don't need another one of you. Oh, I'm not, like I said, I genuinely am not in this to make friends. We need funding of tech. That's what we need. Or like in my area, we have a conservative group that's just getting blasted because they have been trying to implement CRT, critical race theory, Marxist theory in schools. They wanted to, without our vote, by the way, we had voted to spend a portion of our tax dollars and pay this much in tax to fund the SRO program. They wanted, without our consent, in the name of diversity, to take our tax dollars that we voted on for an SRO program, defund the SRO program, and then spend six figures on a chief diversity officer for the school. Without our vote, without the taxpayer vote. And then when taxpayers objected, they were called racists. That is not an exaggeration. Hands to sky verbatim, that's how it went down. Still goes down. And so they wanted to establish this commission of people that we wouldn't get to know. School administrative bureaucrats, and track kids' microaggressions and keep that on a permanent record and determine graduation based upon this. That's not an exact, I mean, they have all this stuff. I've written about it. It's on the internet. It's in the newsletter. When people objected, they were called racist because that's what statists hide behind. Now, there was a group that formed in my town, and I donated to it. I don't know how what you see is what you get with me. And they tried to come in. They wrote an article about it because I donated to them. And I'll do it again, twice the amount this time, just because you guys decided to get froggy. And a lot of other people donated to them. They want what they what and there are a bunch of professional leftist activists that have come in and they've kind of taken it over and they're really trying to take over the school board. And they brought some dude in who don't even live in our town to yell about it at a park and do all this other stuff and be like, everybody's racist and all this because you won't let us defund your SRO program and track your kids' microaggressions, which they defined as subconscious or conscious, by the way, verbatim quote. They brought in another guy who's like a lawyer and they're going to try to lawfare it. So we have to engage. So I've been donating, and that's what people need to spend money on because that's how you got to fight some of this stuff. Unfortunately, not spending money on another damn think tank or another damn group that's like we're yay Eagle Freedom Group, Eagle America Group Freedom, and we're gonna have a get together. And oh, whoop de doo da! What the hell does it do? Everybody gets together. They drink at the bar. It's the same damn people. What? All these? Can I see new groups? And if that's your way of getting involved, then you suck at it. No one needs you. No one needs the stupid. No one needs another new think tank. No one needs another new group. Fund tech. Fund tech startups. Fund competition to this stuff. Quit letting the leftists do it all. I have no time for people who do that. I had someone who came up to me. Sometimes I might seem mean, and I don't mean to, but I just don't have time for this. Like people who are like, how can I help get engaged and help the fun tech, for conservative, libertarian, and whatever, independent, or you know, how can I dig into my own area? I love to talk to those people. Those are my favorite people. But the people who are like, I wanna start a group and go raise some money and then have a rally. Screw off. Bye. I walked away in mid-conversation from somebody when they were telling me this, and I just looked at them and I just turned away and walked. I'm like, no. I don't have time for it. Neither do you. I'm busy, aren't you? You're busy. You got kids. You got other. We hang out. We sit here and we vent to each other. We hang out. We do all of this. But we're busy. I don't have time to sit here and indulge that kind of stuff. Come on. Neither do you. You want results.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, look at that. Governor Bill Lee signed permitless carry, constitutional carry, into law as Tennessee joins 18 other states that adopt constitutional carry. On this list, checks notes, is not Texas. I mean, I think it's a good idea to have a sanctuary state. Fine, whatever. It's not going to have any legal holding, but a constitutional carry will. That'd be great if we could do that. So maybe let's do that instead of the sanctuary thing, because the sanctuary thing doesn't have any legal holding. You don't have to have any kind of action with the state legislature. So it's just, it's like a token thing. Let's just say have actual constitutional carry. So just saying, just going to put that out there. So they've announced, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't like it. They announced that they're going to do another Indiana Jones. And the person that they cast as the female lead, I don't know, maybe she'll be good. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Apparently she's like very funny. So she like might play off. Is he going to be back? Isn't he like he crashes planes now, doesn't he? Well, I mean, he's not too old to be in there, but I don't think he can be like swashbuckling, really. Yeah,
he's too old. He's too old.
Yo, you just don't want to see him at all. Was Sean Connery too old?
All right, can we move on?
Oh.
Let's move on.
You guys want to watch a fight? Just saying. Just saying. Just use that out there. Here you go. Yeah. Also, I'm just, you know. Let's see. The $212 billion budget deal for New York includes mobile sports betting. Oh my goodness. That's what lawmakers in New York reached. They said because they're trying to figure it, because their economy was actually not great before the pandemic, but now it's even worse. But their $212 billion deal, and there's a lot of pork in there for some of their friends. Also, do you want to get, I'll have to talk about this later. I need to tell you the next time we do headlines, I want to tell you about the toy, the coronavirus toy that's going viral. I know, it's actually kind of cool. It's the plague mask thing. J. Christian Adams up next.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Goodness, goodness. I couldn't think of the most appropriate song to play for bumper for this. This is like the closest it came to. Alice Cooper, I Want to Be Elected. Because it does seem that people are more concerned, I mean, and by people, I mean one ideology, about just the act of getting elected more so than observing a fair and honest election process. We've seen this with Georgia. We've seen this. Now we're seeing it with HR1. And I really do, as I said, firmly believe that Georgia's being used just to get a bunch of outrage going and use that as this apparatus to propel HR1 forward, which that's bad news bear. HR1 joining us on this because he's an expert and this is his wheelhouse, our friend J. Christian Adams, and he is, you can find him on Twitter at Election Law Center. In fact, I've tweeted out his handle, and he is the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Good to see you, my friend, as always. You've been busy because it's busy season, and the fight over election integrity doesn't stop. Let me put it this way. I've read the Georgia law. I've read it. I've gone over it. I've with my own eyes, not reading an editorial, I've read the text of the legislation itself. I have no idea where people are getting that things are being limited. I actually think it goes too far to expand things. I mean, I could criticize it on that basis alone, but it's not limiting anything, and it's making ID free. What is this ultimately about?
It's about a relentless narrative to attack any effort that would prevent what happened in 2020 from happening again. It is a reflexive, automatic response to any effort to make the elections work better by the left. The left has this like frog response. A tongue goes after a fly anytime you talk about things like voter ID. They can't control themselves. It's the fish hitting the lure. They're reactionary. And Dana, it's not thought, it's just who they are.
Yeah. No, that's true. And the photo ID is free. That was one of the arguments that we kept hearing, that this is going to somehow discriminate against people who are poor or people who are, you know, minorities. And I don't really see that being a problem. You have several different forms of ID that you can use. Then you have Major League Baseball that gets involved. They go to Colorado. You have to have a photo ID to register to vote. And I've noticed the dancing around that interesting fact from Jen Psaki. Whenever she takes questions, she says, well, you don't have to have a photo ID to vote. In order to get to that point, you have to have a photo ID to even get registered. So it's moot. The point stands, right?
Yeah, Help America Vote Act, which passed almost 20 years ago, said that first-time registrants who register by mail have to show photo ID. This is a federal law. And it is a federal law, which, by the way, President Biden voted for when he was in the Senate. So, you know, this is all this newfound outrage that matches the general narrative of outrage that's, you know, polluting the country. Look, these people have, Dana, a utopian vision where everyone sits on their couch and casts votes in Congress like they're little mini congressmen with remote controls. Anything that gets in the way of that is evil to them. And so whether it's voter ID, whether it's registration in advance, Dana, whether it's precinct, voting in your own precinct, they think it's all part of a plot by, you know, the heirs of Jim Crow to prevent people of color from voting.
Yeah, and the fact, and Jim Crow and Jim Eagle, because yeah, I guess in his mind he reasoned that eagles are bigger than crows, so I guess it works. My gosh. We're talking with J. Christian Adams, president of Public Interest Legal Foundation, and he, of course, he's been following everything with the voting battle for quite some time. Ultimately, to me, this really all plays into H.R. 1, I think, about really trying to refocus. Georgia is sort of a tool for Democrats to use to make them think not only is the problem in your state, but the problem's nationally. We have to get HR 1. And that's evident with all of the statements that I know you've seen and talked about that these companies are making, because they don't just mention Georgia law whenever they talk about either taking the game out, all-star game out of Georgia, or targeting companies in Georgia. They also mention, every single one of them, HR 1, which would really end voting. It would end the republic. I don't really feel like that's hyperbole to say.
Well, it's why the republic was formed. Don't forget, I did a piece at PJ Media, said this undoes the republic. We wouldn't have a United States if it weren't for the deal that states get to run their own elections. So these people pushing HR 1 are the new secessionists. They're the nullifiers. They're the ones who break up the union when they do this. States were meant to control elections because local control means more individual liberty. When you centralize control, you create an opportunity for bad things to happen. And the founders knew that, Dana, and you know that. That's why we have decentralized election control. HR 1 would undo all of that. It would give bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., that I used to work with at the Justice Department, total control over elections. It would remove people from having a voice. Power should be closest to the people, and they want to send it off to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it's a complete abandonment of your duty as a citizen to just outsource it like that and say, go ahead, take it from the states, go ahead and take it to D.C. Because if people think that we have problems now with the system, I mean, wait until they get a load of all of it being run from D.C. And even more than that, and we've told people before on this program, we're talking to J. Christian Adams, that you're on the hook not just to pay for political campaigns and, you know, there's other stuff that's associated with it, but it cements the mail-in ballots. And all of the protections that we use to validate and verify votes, which protect voters, those are gone. Those are done away with. And it's almost like states are penalized if they try to incorporate something like that protection in their own state.
Right. It also limits states' abilities to clean voter rolls. We just settled a case this week.
In Pennsylvania, the Public Interest Legal Foundation
against Pennsylvania, where they had dead people on the voter rolls for 20 years. They weren't doing their job. They fixed that.
They were just very dedicated to their civic duty. You know, they were just beyond the grave.
Right. And, you know, voting from the other side of the grass. But here, under H.R. 1, Pennsylvania wouldn't be allowed to clean their voter rolls like they need to. So this is another example where H.R. 1 would institutionalize chaos and slack in the system, whether it's vote by mail, voting behind closed doors by mail, or preventing the cleanup of voter rolls. That's why they like it, by the way. That's a feature. It's not a glitch.
This might be getting into the weeds too much with folks on it, but say it gets to the – I mean, even if all the states started passing protections and winning cases like you won in Pennsylvania with the integrity of these of the voter rolls, and let's just say, even though some senators say it's not going to pass, but let's, for the sake of argument, say H.R. 1 or something similar passes. At that point, I mean, what option do states have left to assert their sovereignty over voting? I mean, do they have to go immediately to nullification, or is there another option?
Fantastic question, Dana. We need to talk more about this, because there's really three different elections under the Constitution. There's president, there's Congress, and there's state and local. And for president, the Constitution says the state legislature sets the rules. So Congress can't intrude there. For local, it's not a congressional election, so state legislature set the rules, right? So Congress can't intrude there. It's only for congressional elections that the Constitution gives power to the Congress to set the rules. So guess what, Nancy Pelosi? You go run the elections. What if a state were to say, great, you passed H.R. 1, come on in and do it yourself. We're not going to do it anymore. That's why that constitutional provision was put there, so states cannot suffocate the federal government. If the federal government is going to suffocate states, then the states need to tell Nancy Pelosi, you run the elections from now on.
Oh, boy. That's something that would be a fun thing to watch. Let's get the popcorn. I want to, kind of in the same ballpark, but switching gears slightly, I wanted to get your reaction to this piece that came. I was checking out this New York Times piece. President Biden's creating a panel to study expanding the Supreme Court. We kind of knew this was coming. Court packing. In an effort to basically balance the conservative majority from Trump's judicial agenda from the second half of his term. This is court packing. Do you think that this, however, is this a serious effort, or is this just kind of a signal that the administration is sending? They're going to create this commission. It'll drag out its study for a couple of years, and ultimately nothing will come of it. Or do you think that this is pedal to the metal? It's go time.
Yeah, the couple things. One, they're letting off steam with their base who's demanding this. The ones who worship power, that want power at all costs. This will placate their base to some extent. But it's also moving the Overton window. It's moving the discussion. the outrageous concept of packing the court into the mainstream. And that's really how the left operates. They always, you know, let's talk about boys becoming girls. Ha, 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 we laughed 20 years ago, and now there it is. So this is what they do, is they always move the discussion window by these sorts of things. And what will happen is there'll be a very careful study by this bar commission that will have a couple token Republican useful idiots on it to say that this is not such a bad idea after all. And then the ball gets moved a little more down the field to what they want, which, of course, is always power.
Yeah, it always comes down to power. That's what it's always about. Our friend Jay Christian Adams, we appreciate having you on, and make sure to find him, Public Interest Legal Foundation president. As always, thank you for your voice and your fight. We're so happy that you're out there. Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, Dana. Bye-bye.
Take care. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up the second hour of our broadcast. We got Florida Man on the way as well. And the latest, too, as we look at some more of the just some of the 2A stuff that you can expect. The executive orders are being signed today. And we've talked about the folly of the whole ghost gun discussion and all of that, because it's, again, more make-believe terms by people who don't understand what the current law is.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, I love Fridays, and I also love the sound of the guitar. Oh, my Spotify playlist, by the way. You can find it, Dana Show Spotify playlist. I'll make sure I put in the newsletter, and I'll put it up on Facebook as well. I think I do have it on Facebook. All good stuff. And you can kind of tell what mood I'm in, too, sort of like that. And the list grows throughout the month, because I will add stuff to it. for sure. Steve brought up two things real quickly. First, Steve brought up the fact that there was a new dynasty, and I didn't even know that there was a new dynasty. Like, my mom watched the old dynasty, and I swear, like, she was all into, like, shoulder pads, power pads, as I call them, because of Dynasty. And Steve's like, yeah, there's a new dynasty. You didn't hear about it? They're in their sixth season. I don't even know how I didn't hear about it. I can't take this show seriously unless you have the young, kind of like bitchy chicks, and then you have like the older, sassy, chain-smoking cougars. So please tell me that they're both in here. Otherwise, the drama ain't going to happen.
He's not talking about Duck Dynasty.
No. Like Dynasty. Yeah. Like Alexis, like we're going to fall down a staircase and I'm going to throw you in a pool, right, Dynasty.
Just making sure.
That. Yes. I mean, it's so funny. It's hysterical. Do you watch it, Steve? Have you watched it?
I've only seen a couple episodes, but it's not my thing. Not many CW shows are my thing, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's a CW thing?
Yeah.
I could maybe overlook that if it's like sufficiently catty. I mean, I could overlook that, maybe. Really quickly, I wanted to ask you, too. You got the Rona shot. You got the vaccine. Are you dead of Rona?
Not dead of Rona, though. Apparently, DMX died of Rona. That's what they claim, but...
Oh my gosh, they're saying that he did, and like they're telling the news, like I'm just like, oh man, just everybody calm down. But you did get a little bit of a fever, but then it went away.
I got the Johnson & Johnson one, so that's just one shot, so I'm done. But I woke up with a little bit of a fever, and then by the time I ate breakfast, it went away.
When you say a little bit of a fever, like what's that?
I don't know, I was sweating hard when I woke up, but I don't know what it was exactly. Ooh. But I feel great now.
Interesting. So I had another friend who got it. I think he got the Johnson & Johnson one too. And he had like the kind of the same thing, but it was only like while he slept that he had it. You got yours after radio yesterday, because I'm just doing the timeline math.
Right head. After the show, yeah. I went right there.
Yeah, and his, after he finished work, him and his wife got hit theirs, and she didn't get anything. Like, she didn't get a fever or nothing. He did. But when he woke up, he was fine. But he knew, because like you said, he'd sweat. He knew that he had, like it broke during the night even, so he wasn't even aware of it. Last question, because it's one shot, is it like a bigger needle or no?
I don't know. It looked like a regular needle. I got it done by some firefighter in my county. He was cool. I don't know. It was quick.
Oh. Yeah, that's cool. All right, well, good for you. I'm glad to know. I just wanted to make sure you didn't sprout a second head or, you know,
to be determined,
anything like that. Because I'm not against vaccines. I just want to make sure that, you know, like, you want to make sure it's safe. You know what I'm saying? Like, meh.
Time will tell.
Yeah, it's like if you're, you know, when you're making something, like if you're grilling chicken, you want to make sure that it grills long enough. Like, you know, you want to make sure. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, the vaccine had time to grill long enough, you know, before. I'm just, well, you know what I mean.
I'm probably going to go home and
science.
Crack a beer then. I'm ready.
Huh? Yeah, you're ready to go. This is a dumb question. I mean, you're immune at this point, right? Because you got the immunity?
I think after my side effects subside, I think I'm all right. I don't know. I have to look it up.
Oh. So you shouldn't go lie in a pit of Rona. Like, immediately. That's actually good to know.
It wasn't my
plan.
I'm
not saying that I would do that. Yeah, okay.
Where are these pits?
I don't know. Okay. I just, you know, for the sake of argument.
DMX's house.
Ooh, sidebar. If you see me messing with super glue, I totally, like, sliced my finger open to the point where I probably need stitches, and I just super glued it back together. So, if you see me messing over here bleeding profusely, it's just because I cut my finger and I really need stitches, and I'm like,
works,
nope.
Though. That works good for cuts.
Honestly. Yeah, I mean, that's what super glue's for, right?
It is.
Yeah, I'm like, pour some alcohol on a super glue, but we're good.
As long as it's not Gorilla Glue.
Yeah.
We saw that hair thing.
My son was like, don't put it in your hair. Right. Oh, my gosh. Let's kick it into some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay. A Florida man decided, you know what I think might be a good idea? Let's ride with my baby on the lap of my motorcycle. What? And then I'm going to run a stop sign. Now, hold up. Like, when I was younger, I would ride on the front of my front of family members' motorcycles. But I, you know, could hold on and, you know, I wasn't like a 17-month-old baby. Right. That's a big difference. So, big difference here. And they didn't run stop signs. Thankfully, this baby, the baby's in critical but stable condition. The 35-year-old stepfather was taken to Morton Plant Hospital, and it happened just yesterday. 17-month-old baby girl riding in the lap of her stepdad on a motorcycle, and she was seriously injured when he crashed running a stop sign. After running the stop sign, he saw a crash where the car was about to occur, so he laid down the motorcycle, which propelled the baby underneath the car. Oh, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I'm having feels. So now he's in massive trouble. He's booked in the Pinellas County Jail early this morning on charges of child neglect with great bodily harm, operating a motorcycle without a license, which is not a loophole. That's a criminal act. You see how that's not a loophole? Stop calling criminal acts loopholes. And he's being held in lieu of $10,250 bond. He might want to stay in there, because if that baby's mom gets a hold of him, man alive, UFC might want to get down there and put a ring around it. There ain't nobody walking out of that. He ain't walking out of that. She'll beat him to death. Good heavens. I just can't imagine. And they had a picture of the bike. Like, the baby just, like, yeeted under the car. It's like, good grief. We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show after this.
You know, he's somebody throughout his entire career in public service who has been incredibly focused on gun reform. You know, he worked to pass the Brady Bill when he was in the Senate. He worked to pass the assault weapons ban. This is something he feels incredibly powerfully about. And so the actions he's announcing today are the first step. He would be the first to say it's not enough. He believes Congress should move on the bipartisan background bills, background check bills, excuse me, in front of them.
Yeah, that's Jen Psaki yesterday. I don't know what bipartisan background check bill she's talking about, because we have those. They exist. Just like you have the Undetectable Firearms Act of 1988, which exists. And it says you have to have X amount of metal in anything that a hobbyist would produce, regardless if they're going to sell it or not. And then if you sell it, it has to be serialized. All of this is already law. I mean, if he feels that strongly about this issue, then maybe he should match the passion of his rhetoric with the passion of I don't know, getting educated about it. Right. Sorry, that was the lady who sounds like she should be a pop singer instead of in politics, Kate Bedingfield. Right. Every time I hear her name, I'm like, Australian singer or not? I don't know why. But... Woo! There you go. All right, so, for real though, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure you subscribe to Chapter and Verse. I think I'm going to be on TV sometime tonight and tomorrow. I don't know anymore. Yeah. Down is up. Up is down. I accidentally had... So I mistakenly asked my husband for a frap to make one yesterday. He's a foodie. I was like, can you make me one? He put 11,000 shots of espresso in it. And so... And I'm abusing this word today because I'm in a mood. So I yeet it out into the atmosphere after I drank this. I was up at 2 a.m. folding socks. I'm not even kidding you. It just seemed appropriate. So there's where we are. And then also, because I have this piece I'm writing on manufacturing. And then after I write a piece, I get all worked up when I'm writing it. And then I have to go like fold socks or crochet. And I'm going to get to the meat and potatoes. Because it's going to be 1,000 degrees in Texas here very shortly, it seems like crocheting things, nobody wants that, right? Because that's what you do when it's cold. So I've decided that we're going to get into Warhammer 40K, and I'm going to paint little figurines. I'm just waiting for my stand. I'm not even joking you. I ordered a stand to paint them on. I can't paint for anything.
Glass and everything?
I'm going to have it. I'm going to also have to get someone else to probably paint them for me, because it's going to be, I can't paint. I don't know if you've guys ever seen me try to art, but it's just, it is so bad. It is so bad. I can't draw a straight line. I can't draw a circle. If there was an asteroid that was barreling towards Earth, and the only thing that could prevent Earth from just being blown to bits was some bad art, everyone would be calling me. Everybody. Like that woman who painted over that Jesus mosaic.
Oh, man.
Remember her? And she made it look like the Scream thing. She's better than me. That's how bad I am. It's so bad. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, I just don't know what it is. I know what's good and what isn't. I just don't. I see some of the art that's done and I'm like, how do these people do this? How is this happening? It's so good. How do they do that? I just can't. All right. So anyway, get down to it. Let's get down to it. This, we had the big discussion about, we were talking all day yesterday, and I have a ton of big pieces about it. like the ghost gun stuff and the manufacturing and the loopholes. We have all of these things. Now, I will say this. There's one thing, and then I'm going to move on to what Democrats are trying to do for 2022. There, I will say this. When everyone talks about the Lautenberg Amendment, and this is 18 U.S.C. 922 G, I believe, because it gets into prohibited possessors. When, and that was the Lautenberg Amendment that was passed, and it discusses, and I quote, intimate partners. You don't have to be married. It can be your boyfriend. The only thing that is not included in it is whether or not someone is cohabitating with that person or not. And this is why I don't take gun control advocates seriously on this issue, because they refuse to actually discuss the language that is that they think is troublesome in the law. And I focus on language so much because the full force and effect of the law comes down based upon the language used. It literally determines whether or not something is a misdemeanor or a felony. And I think that's incredibly significant, don't you? So that's why language is important. And I can't take gun control advocates seriously when they talk about the Lautenberg Amendment and when they talk about, oh, we got to close the boyfriend loophole. Well, there isn't a boyfriend loophole. And I wrote about this in one of the newsletters. If you wanted to have a discussion about Lautenberg and whether or not there should be an inclusion or exception for cohabitation, that's certainly a discussion you could bring up, but none of them bring it up. None of the Giffords groups, none of the Bloomberg groups, not a single one of them bring it up. None. The boyfriend loophole, sorry, it was 18 U.S.C. 922, subsection 9. And this is important for you to know, because they usually include this in the Violence Against Women's Act. And one of the reasons why a lot of Republicans object to the Violence Against Women's Act, it's not because they object to violence or they endorse violence against women. It's because there's a lot of other stuff that's stuffed in there. People tack on special interest, things that have literally nothing to do and do not. You know how they do it with all this legislation. And the Democrats can say, well, because you won't pass my special interest, I'm going to say that I tacked on to this very important bill, that if I cared enough about violence against women, I wouldn't jeopardize the damn bill by tacking on some things like shrimp on treadmills. But instead, they say they try to emotionally blackmail people and say, well, if you don't then agree to my special interest, I'm just going to say that you love beating women. And that's how they approach it. So, you have to forgive me. I'm like, try not to sneeze because allergies. There is no boyfriend loophole. This is what it says. It says, subject to a court order that restrains such a person from harassing, stalking, threatening an intimate partner of such person or child of such intimate partner or person, or engaging in other conduct that would place an intimate partner in reasonable fear of bodily injury to that partner or child, except that this paragraph shall only apply to a court order that, et cetera, et cetera. I don't necessarily think that you have to have cohabitation. I would entertain a discussion on it, but I don't necessarily see how the absence of any mention of that negates the existence of no boyfriend loophole, right? Because when I read 18 U.S.C. 922, subsection 9, it doesn't say that you are exempt from being considered a prohibited possessor if you don't live with the person. It doesn't say that. That's the thing. It doesn't say that at all. There's nothing in this law. There's nothing at all in 18 U.S.C. 922 subsection 9 that would suggest that there is a loophole based around cohabitation. Now, if the issue is a level misdemeanor charge, then the discussion should focus on raising the charge from misdemeanor to a felony with due process. But that's the other thing that they really don't get into. They claim that such an offense is bad enough to strip away rights, but not to increase the penalty to a full year in prison. I mean, don't you think, because that's the justification for everything else. If you're forfeiting your right, then the penalty has to be 1 year or more in prison. That's the measure. So they don't want to increase that, but they just want, that's what is incongruent here. So that's when I say that I don't take them seriously on that, I feel like they, a lot of these people haven't even read the law. And I, like I said, I'll entertain discussions as to how they think that whether or not cohabitation or not, it somehow makes any of this different, because the way that it is written, it doesn't exclude it. But it's they're not, the way that they argue, it shows me that they haven't, they're not serious enough about it to familiarize themselves with existing law. So that's what you need to know. That's what I wanted to bring up to you. I also, really quickly here, if you get the newsletter, we had a nice fun discussion about Biden's nominee for ATF director. Now AFT director. AFT, always fun times. The director of Always Fun Times. By the way, if you look up David Chipman, all the photos of this dude, he's a yeller. Every photo he's in, the dude's yelling about something. He is a blue anon conspiracy theorist. He thinks all semi-automatic firearms should be banned. He wants to keep gun stores closed as non-essential businesses during lockdowns. He mocked law-abiding gun owners as chickens stocking up literally for zombie apocalypse. He had both roles in Ruby Ridge and Waco. I don't think that, the picture where he's holding something, that's him holding a piece of paper saying, this is David Chipman, ask me anything. His like proof of life for Reddit. And some people, I think, have stuck other things in there, which are not accurate. And I wanted to make that clear, because I think we had some of that on yesterday. But he's nuts, though, still. And this is a guy who felt proud about his involvement with Waco and everything that went down there. So, yeah, I think that, you know. But here's the one thing that I didn't mention to you yesterday. And I did tell you that he made up a story about Branch Davidian shooting down two helicopters. That never happened. So remember how I said he was working for gun control groups before being selected as nominee for ATF director? So he went to work for one of Michael Bloomberg's gun control groups, Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Now, this group was virtually shelved because its members kept getting arrested for things like child porn and threatening minors with a gun when they wouldn't return sexual advances, obstruction, assault, embezzlement. And that, yeah. So he left and went to the Giffords one. In fact, one of the Mayors Against Illegal Guns, and this was all during the time, I mean, this is, you know, they have their David Chipman over there. You had Richard Corkery. He faced 28 counts of possession of child pornography. This is a mayor who believes that you should be disarmed. Yeah, he ended up getting in big trouble for that. Or how about the one of the other Mayors Against Illegal Guns, James Schirillo? He was from Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania. He was trying to intimidate a man that he was attracted to. He brought 20-year-old Nicholas Dorsum to his home. They were drinking wine, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. When Dorman attempted to leave, Schirillo prevented him from doing so by shooting a gun into a stack of papers, and he threatened to kill himself. Yeah, he, by the way, had called for gun control legislation, etc. He was a member of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Then you had, oh my goodness, where do we start? You had Gary Becker of Racine, Wisconsin, former mayor. He got 5 felony indictments for child pornography, attempted child sexual assault, and child enticement. He resigned. He was convicted. He got a 3-year felony sentence in prison. I mean, these were all mayors who are part of Bloomberg's Mayors Against Illegal Guns. I mean, there's so much of this. It is insane. It's just a bunch of people who fabricate evidence, conduct assault, embezzlement, child predation. And David Chipman was over there working as like one of the heads there over at Mayors Against Illegal Guns. So then he decided to switch and go over to the Giffords group, I guess, where they had fewer pedophiles. I don't know. This is the guy that wants to make policy about whether or not you can have a gun. I mean, it's almost like he wants to make all conspiracy theories true. Just saying. This is the worst pick ever. And no Republican should support confirming him, because he's a conspiracist zealot. He's totally blue and on. So coming up, we got a number of things. 2022 is going to, Democrats are going to try to, they're going to try to act like they have the economics on their side. And they're going to try to say that the GOP, remember how we always said Democrats are focusing on pronouns and we're focusing on jobs? They're going to try to steal that and make that their thing for 2022. We're going to talk about that coming up.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So when there's like a super smart scientist dude who's like, why would you want to contact alien life forms? Stop it. Who says that? And then I see this headline, NASA's new James Space Webb Telescope allows scientists to look further and deeper into space. But if we find alien life and attempt to make contact, it could have dire consequences. Can I just, and there was one top scientist that said it was an absolute awful idea. And he's the guy who's always on the aliens thing. I not the Greek one. Micho Kaku, he goes, yeah, I don't, he's a string theorist. And he said that, he told the Observer that that could be a bad idea. I think we need to listen to this guy. Just saying, let's listen to Mr. Kaku here. I just think that sounds like it the right thing to do. Heck, I don't even like talking on the phone to people who live a mile away, much less like talk to aliens who live halfway across the universe. Come on. The Matt Gaetz trip to the Bahamas is part of a federal probe into sex trafficking. Sources say this story's all over the place and it is even hard to follow. I've been looking at it, and because they're accusing him of trafficking, and it has to also ties in with like ransom money for some dude that was in Iran, and you don't know what's, he was trying to get Trump to pardon him, I guess, and someone talked Trump out of it. I don't know. And coronavirus toys are going viral, according to the Walrus. The Plague Doctor plushie, which sounds like the gothest thing ever. Mysterious Dr. Plague plushie. Goth parents, I'm just saying. AZ Attorney General Mark Bronovich next.
Want a deeper dive into the Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Again, the Remain in Mexico policy was working. You know, maybe just because Donald Trump came up with it, Joe Biden can call it his own idea and then redo what President Trump did that was working with Mexico. Mexico was not only defending our southern border, they were defending their own southern border and paying for it. And it was stopping that flow of migrants. They can't even handle this surge that's coming across our border. They're taking over military bases, the Dallas Convention Center, all of them are getting overrun. Right. And the people on the ground are telling you they can't control it. It's got to stop. Joe Biden needs to reverse this deadly, devastating policy.
Good heavens. That's Steve Scalise, Congressman Steve Scalise, talking about this. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. We were going to have the AG for Arizona, but he had something come up right before we started, so we don't have him. But we got a lot of other stuff anyway. The Congressman Steve Scalise, did you see the video of him? I put this, I have this in my notes. He was doing an interview, and, or he was doing a video, and all, there was like literally a stream of people that were just walking right behind him, just at the border, just a stream of people. Wow. That was kind of amazing to see. It was sort of like when you had Chip Roy, who had people crossing the Rio right behind him. Yeah, the video, if you're watching the simulcast on the first, all these people that are just crossing, because that's right near the Rio. I mean, that's right. You go through the brush there and there's the bank. And coming over, and what happens is people get out of their wet clothes in the brush, and then some of the field, they cut down some of the field, and then they have like, it's just literally a bumpy gravel road. And nothing says terror, by the way. Sidebar, like 3 in the morning, riding in a Bronco with a Border Patrol agent and passenger. Louis Gohmert is driving, and you're in the back seat with a camera guy, and your Louis Gohmert is tearing down this gravel road that is bumpy, and it's like the mine train at Six Flags at like 70, 80 miles an hour. And he's like, I love Congressman Gohmert, don't get me wrong, but he's one of those dudes that when he points, he drives there. Yeah. So if he's like, he's driving and he's pointing, and I'm like, it was pitch black. And at some, there were some points you could see with the headlights, but at some point, there were times where I was like, I am afraid that if he does that, that we will go off into the river. It was so pitch black. You couldn't, whew, oh my goodness. So yeah, that's, but all these people crossing right behind Scalise. They said the amount of money, it really is. It's the new dope. It is the new dope. Do you remember when they had children fatalities under the Obama, or under when Trump was president? and that was at the height of the spring crossings. And that's because Biden keeps saying that, oh, well, it's like this every year. It's not, though. I mean, there's data that shows it's like, you know, six times more. I mean, you have like hundreds of thousands just in 1 month. That's a lot. But there was a man and a toddler that had drowned in the Rio. And this was when they were crossing one spring during Trump's administration. And everybody in the media, I was looking at this on Memorandum, which is how leftists decide what stories are trending and what aren't. And they'll have like a big bold headline, and then they have a bunch of links underneath it. Those are all the entities that are talking about this story. And every single one of those entities, there was something that I noticed. You had this image, and I don't want to show it, but you had this image of this dad and his toddler that were face down in the Rio, right at the bank. They had drowned. And there were so many different photos from different angles. And they were very close cropped. And then there were a couple of photos that I saw that it showed basically a bunch of people crowding around taking photos and video. And it made me nauseous. Like, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not just saying that to say. I mean, it made me nauseous. Just taking photos and videos, different angles. And now I could tell why they had it so close cropped, because if they widened it out anymore, you would see like feet near them and all that. People like stage it, like, because it was on kind of a steep bank that went down right into the river. And all these people were, all the media was there getting photos and video and all. Oh my gosh. And then they were like, Trump killed this dad and child. Trump, do you remember that whole thing? Trump killed them. Do you see any of that with this? And remember, the crossings generally are six times the people. Actually, I think more than that. I'm purposefully keeping it lower because I would rather keep it lower than not. They still won't call it a crisis. And so many more children. And they had, what is it, a six-month-old that had drowned? And then you had that video of that little eight-year-old boy walking around by himself in the desert. And you know how when you're a parent, every kid that you see is like yours? And like, you're my kid now. Oh my gosh, it broke my heart seeing this kid. He had no idea he didn't really know where he was. And I got the impression that he thought he may have been in the United States at that point, but he wasn't sure. Because he had been wandering around out there for so long. And that's what one of the agents told one of the media outlets. Like, he really was really disoriented. He had no idea. He clearly didn't do this by his own choice. That's where I'm like, the kids, I feel bad for. The adults, I want to beat the snot out of them. And there were these two little girls and this little boy. My gosh, they left him. Bunch of adults left him. Oh my God. I could not do border patrol work. I would be in trouble all the time. I'd be written up six ways to Sunday. How these men and women who do this do not beat ass every single day, especially these people that put these kids in this position. Like, someone, is there a trophy for patience and, like, you know, self-restraint? Because I think they need all the awards. I would have immediately, I'd be like, we're going to get you set up. You know, we'll take it. You come. I don't care where, it's a kid. It's the adults I want to beat the hell out of. They're the ones breaking the laws because they know better. Right? I want people to keep that in mind. I don't blame kids, just like I don't blame kids for the circumstances that they put in. And this is an argument. Change the variables out. The logical formula is similar to that when you're talking about abortion. I don't blame the kids for being in the situation that they're in. But when you have adults that are willingly making decisions that they know are violating the law and they endanger children in the process, I hold them responsible. But they had two little girls. These were like toddlers. Oh, well, I think one was like four or five. That's kindergartner. But the other one was definitely a toddler. And they wrote the mom's name and number on their arms in permanent marker. Dropped them off in the desert. Dropped them off on the other side of the wall. I'm telling you what. No, it's not a crisis. You don't see the media. Do you see that on CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC?
Hell no.
No, you don't. You know, because they care so much. Do you see AOC down there crying for these kids?
Nope.
Do you see the Vice President Kamala Harris, who is in charge of this whole situation, apparently? No, she won't go down there because they don't have snacks. You know, she wanted to stop and get a snack. This is what, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. You already know that they're freaking out. There's two things that Democrats are freaking out over this week because they realized that they just messed up. They're freaking out over this situation because now you got the Biden administration going, well, maybe we should put that wall back up. Maybe we should keep building that wall. And then you have Stacey Abrams, who unleashed the social justice warrior Kraken in Georgia. And now she's like, oh, no. Oh, crap. I got to walk this back. I got to walk this back now. Too late. Too late. So while Democrats try to position in 2022 like they're the people who are about economics and Republicans are about the culture war, keep this in mind, because that is what they're trying to do. That's what they would like to go for. Now, a couple of things that I want to touch on here, and I am pulling up, if you'll bear with me, because I got a lot. We were talking about the racist font. I had another social justice warrior story. But the other thing to look at here, have you heard anything about the Capitol cop who was killed by the Nation of Islam guy who drove a car into a barricade and had a knife? Capitol Police Officer William Billy Evans, age 41. Is he going to get Evans, thankfully, is going to lie in honor in the United States Capitol Rotunda. Do you think that you're going to have the same kind of like mainstream coverage? And that story, you don't even hear about that story anymore.
Nope.
I mean, they made a huge deal out of it when it was January 6th. I'm not saying not justifying everything. I'm talking about the difference in media treatment. For sure. Here's a study. Daily Mail. Ohio State University researchers. This is very interesting and totally not at all unpredicted. They said that manly men with typically masculine traits are better fathers. They said that researchers found that characteristics such as competitiveness and adventurousness were linked to being better fathers to infants. Yeah. Hi. And while traits, I hate this sentence, while they're seen as old-fashioned male stereotypes. They said that the researchers say they actually result in more positive parenting behaviors. They go, if fathers can preserve the best of these stereotypical masculine characteristics without the negatives like hostile sexism, that would be good for families. Do you know men then? Because they do that all the time. You just don't give them credit. I could have told you this. There are a lot of women out there who could have told you this all, too. You didn't need to do a study about it. We could have saved y'all some money. Ooh. But they go, those people who show high levels of hostile sexism were found to have worse parenting skills. Duh. You morons. Duh. And that happens, I'm going to say, in my personal experience, my experience has been it's worse on the left. And I say this as someone who grew up in a leftist family. Had one leftist biological parent. Yes.
In this article, it says here, the researchers highlight that the fathers in the sample were highly educated and had partners who also worked, and the findings may not apply to all fathers. Unbelievable.
But yeah, manly men make better dads. I totally agree with this.
They're trying to play the fence on this.
They can't play the fence on it. They can't. All right, lastly, because I know we got to, we're running out of time. I am doing this to you because I had to see it. I had to see the thing with Hunter Biden, so you got to do it too. There's a bunch of stuff that wasn't in his book. This is so gross. I'm so sorry. I am doing this. He came out with his book, A Beautiful Thing. He's trying to rehabilitate himself and he's trying to act like he's owning the worst stuff that he's done, but he hasn't. So apparently there is a lot of explicit video of him with prostitutes, plural. he had like a Pornhub account and he made videos and put them up there. That's so gross. We're all throwing up in our mouths. It's so gross. Oh, and yeah, they found that out. There's all kinds of pictures, all kinds of everything. It's totally him. Oh, yeah. I didn't watch everything. I didn't watch anything. I just saw what was in Daily Mail. And then I was like, scroll! No! It's just so gross. I wanted to follow this after the Manly Men thing because he's clearly not one. This dude, and it had texts with him and Joe. And I have to say, Joe sounds like an enabler. Maybe he was just going through. Now, I'm being nice here and generous. Maybe it's, you know, if you lose a child, you don't want to run the risk of losing another. And so you feel like if you're nice to them, then you're not enabling them. You're giving them a soft place to land or something. I don't know. But it's enabling because it's hard to be tough on kids, but they need it sometimes. And there's a difference between tough and abuse. And if people don't know the difference, they need to not have children. Keep your knees kissing. For real. But the text, did you read the text between him and his dad? Like, when wasn't he asking him for money? Can you pay this dentist bill? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Oh, my gosh. And ranting and raving about how he was more concerned with how people perceived him than anything else. Oh my gosh, it is. There are so many pictures and so much. Like I said, some people on Twitter were having fun sharing some of the stuff. And that's how you get some of the pictures. The ones I think that we were showing, he like had his, I guess, the top teeth drilled out for veneers or meth mouth. I don't know. It looks like he's getting veneers, yeah. But the bottom one is meth. The bottom is meth mouth. I just, you know, but man alive.
If this was Don Jr., what would the media be like?
Oh, can you imagine? But here's the other question, though. He talks about how he was stressed out all the time and how the public, he underestimated the way that they would weaponize, I guess, his past mistakes and his relationship with his dad to undermine his dad's, you know, presidency or whatever, or his run for office. And he talks a lot about how the stress is what really like led him to do this. Then why would you put it in a book and go on a book tour and talk to Jimmy Kimmel and put yourself up for all of this? Can I just be real? The guy's a fame whore. He is. But he's too selfish to serve.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Sign up for Chapter and Verse. And I'll be on with Judge Jeanine on Fox tomorrow. Today in Stupidity. Kane, right. Well, what do we got?
Don't have time to play the audio, but CBS wins today. They're trying to blame the crisis at the border, not on Joe Biden's policy, which he was very vocal about, but to climate change. So thank you, CBS, for your continued stupidity this week.
Yeah, it's the weather. That's what it was. Yeah, I don't think so, folks. That does it for us. God bless. Back with you Monday.